Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. My name is Celeste Elliott, and I am your weekly host here every Thursday morning on Lilydale Radio, blog, which is on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, for those of you who need to listen in the car. So... or on your laptop, whatever. So good morning. This is my first show back in a while, and I am very honored. I have a special guest with me today. Usually my only co-host is coffee, right? But today I have the wonderful and knowledgeable Ron Skolansky with me. So welcome to Ron.
Good morning.
So Ron is a longtime Lilydaleite.
Very long time.
Yeah.
I know I still have the blush of youth, but I've been around a while.
When did you start coming to Lilydale? Were you a teenager?
I was a teenager when I first started coming here. Well, I say probably about 17-ish. It's 16, 17.
Yeah.
And as a result of, I started to become kind of a regular, if you'll pardon the bad pun, I kind of got to haunt the place a little bit. I was here a lot.
See what happens, you guys?
That's right. Yeah, stay away if you don't like puns.
Oh, we're going to have a good time today. Yeah, I guarantee it. We always do.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
And so, as I say, it's kept coming. And there were dynamics here that were just too special to ignore. Mm-hmm. Not just from a, if you will, phenomenal point of view, but from a very deeply spiritual point of view, which, as you can all appreciate, if you're that age, there's not just you're growing, you're learning, but you're mm-hmm. also, there's a lot of spiritual yearning. So I've been around a while, and I've seen, as they say, I've seen things come and I've seen things go. But Lilydale will endure forever.
Well, that I will take that prediction and I will run with it, and I love it. So thank you very much for that. For those of you who are just tuning in, we are broadcasting live from my house in Lilydale. So thank you for schlepping over in the snow.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle, but no blizzards. So
yes.
We're doing good.
It's a double Christmas
miracle
around here.
Yeah, it really is. So we got, 3 weeks ago, we got dumped.
To Western New York.
Welcome to Western New York. Welcome to ski country.
Yep.
For people who are just listening and they don't have any idea about Lilydale or where Lilydale is, we are about an hour south of Buffalo, New York. And about an hour northeast of Erie, Pennsylvania, which are two places that set records for snow every year.
How's that for an invitation?
Actually, it's not bad. We do have a crew that comes in. We have great maintenance people, and they clear the streets for us and such. So, if you are looking for winter activity, you can find it around here, and then you can come by and visit another day. So, and we do have this week some wonderful, next week, with candlelight services.
I want to say at next week, to be honest, yeah. I was reading about it just yesterday, and it just popped out of my head.
I will look that up for
yep.
us a little later so I can yep. give you definite information, and I'll post it on my Facebook page as well. But I know there's always, we have four churches in Lilydale, and we have one every year we have a candlelight service that includes all of the churches.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and really I know that one's on Christmas Eve. I don't know when the other one is, but
we are we've had a burning bowl service at Church of the Living Spirit every year for many, many years. I've been privileged to not preside over that service, but in a sense conduct the burning bowl part of it. And if I do a good job, they let me preach. And haven't lost anyone yet. So, I mean, we're doing good. Nobody's caught fire.
Well, this is excellent news. That is a good thing.
This year is going to be the Sunday before New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So it'll be the Sunday before New Year's Eve at Church of the Living Spirit. And if you've never experienced a burning bowl service,
it's beautiful.
It is. And this is not something that just is within the spiritualist tradition. I've seen it in the Christian tradition and so many others. And it's really, if you need to kind of, it's very cathartic. It's kind of an opportunity to, it's what New Year's symbolizes, ringing out the old and joyfully ringing in the new. And to do it in a corporate, in a communal way, and to do it in a tangible way, a symbolic way as well. I always tell people, if you've never been to one, do it at least once in your life. Mm-hmm. You will be rewarded.
Yeah. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Yeah. One of our friends here is writing in that December 14th is the Church of the Living Spirit candlelight service. So you can go to their website also and get that information. So now, Ron, you mentioned to our guests that that you are a minister.
Yeah.
and not just in the spiritualist tradition. You are sort of the master of comparative and cooperative religions here.
I've led a complicated spiritual journey.
That's a good thing.
And I say that in a good way.
Yeah.
Having been really, I'll use the term, it's an old school term, and I hope I don't offend anyone. I was raised in a very, I'd say, strict-ish Roman Catholic way.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Roman Church. It gave me an enormous amount of foundation and spirituality and such. But for reasons, some of them theological, some of them, I would say, social, I was becoming somewhat disenchanted. And, I finally, a friend of mine said, you seem like a free thinker, too free thinking for me. And I said, I don't really understand how you can be too free thinking. But anyway, he asked me if I'd go to the spiritualist church with him. I'm originally from Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And that began a fantastic journey that started, 17. And by the time I was 25 years old, I was already at that point an ordained spiritualist minister with the National Spiritualist Association of Churches.
Wow.
Ministered to Plymouth Spiritualist Church in Rochester, New York, from 1980 to 1990. And I'm a very strong believer that you have to have a real strong sense of self, meaning you have to consistently examine your life. Where am I today? Juxtaposition as to where I was yesterday.
Got it. Yeah.
And frankly, reached a point where I really believed at the time, and I still believe it today, that in that, period of time from the time I was 17 till the time I was probably about 32, that I had pretty much done as much as I possibly could do for spiritualism. And it was a kind of a really painful, emotionally painful thing, but I felt very strongly that I had to withdraw from spiritualism in an official capacity. And so I didn't understand why I would have to do that,
but you listen.
Isn't it wonderful what spirit can do?
And listen to the core. Yeah.
Listen to that still small voice within. Mm-hmm. And people were shocked. I mean, they thought I was dying or so many other things. And I'm thinking, no. I said, I had no issues with spiritualist theology or philosophy. It was just like, my work here is done, at least for now. And so I did. I withdrew and was gone for at least Lilydale didn't see me for probably, I want to say at least 4 years.
Mm.
And that's when the rumors really were flying that somebody had visited my grave and that's really good. I look pretty good for a dead guy, let me tell you.
You know, I like to use the term I like what Mark Twain said best.
Yes.
Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Greatly. Well, that's so true. And what I was doing in those 4 years, I wasn't just, you know, lying about doing nothing. I got myself down to Orlando, Florida, because for the longest time I had been studying independently the science of mind, or religious science, as it's called by those of us who adhere to it.
Mm-hmm.
And something just said, this is your next step. And I said, okay. And I had gotten a hold of a few people, and there were a lot of serendipitous, you know, if you will, divine coincidences.
Oh, yeah.
So I end up in Orlando, and they couldn't make hide nor hair of me, because here I'd never really taken any courses. I'd never really done what they determined needed to be done to validate a ministry. And I was challenging their examinations, and I was deeply grateful I was passing them.
Yeah.
So, long story short, by the time I was done in Florida, I was then, I'll use the term firebranded, as an acceptable righteous citizen and ordained with the, at the time we were United Church of Religious Science.
Mm-hmm.
We've subsequently, our name has changed to United Centers for Spiritual Living.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back to Rochester, New York, and I began a work there, the All Souls United Church of Religious Science,
mm-hmm.
and did that for about 5 years. And into the third year, I got married, and my bride always lived here. And I said, I can do ministry and drive back and forth. Famous last words. Lilydale to Rochester is about 120 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So after 2 years, I had to pull back because I was very tired, and I didn't think I was helping the church, nor was I really helping myself. But as things worked out, I came back here, and you know, as we preacher types tend to do, if you're a man without a country or a woman without a country, you got to get a job. And so I did that in a number of places, including Lilydale,
mm-hmm.
Desk clerk, my God, so many different things, painting and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And again, it brought me to the conclusion after a couple of years back that I was busier now in the spiritualist community, because all of a sudden the phone started ringing. You know, the various spiritualist churches and even non-spiritualist churches.
Oh, no, you've been discovered.
I thought a lot of people just figured, if they let me preach, they're going to get, like, free toasters or, you too can have a blender if Ron Skowronski preaches in your church. But, and I really found that odd. And at that point, Spirit had decided to probably go visit Disney, because I wasn't getting any information that led to any real clarity.
Right.
The only thing I kept thinking in my mind, I'm a movie buff. I kept thinking of the last Godfather movie, where Al Pacino as Don Corleone says, "I keep trying to get away, but they keep pulling me back." And so I've kind of acquiesced, and whenever I'm invited, whether it be to deliver a sermon or to help in any way. And the neat part about it is it's taught me a very, very important, I call it the most dynamic spiritual lesson I think we can all learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hopefully to really understand that, you know, principles are so much more important than personalities.
Yes.
Churches
yeah.
that probably wouldn't have touched me with a 10-foot pole because of which organization I belong to and the reputation it had or the reputation they had, and the two
right.
churches, you know, the two organizations
mm-hmm.
didn't talk. Well, I started to develop this notion of, you know, life is short
mm-hmm.
And don't sweat the small stuff. And by the way, it's all small stuff.
Yeah.
And I began to just look at these folks as people.
Yeah.
And my favorite expression in any church work I do is my preaching or my ideas, is what I'm sharing is for your personal edification. They do not reflect the views, theology, or the philosophy of this particular church per se. Please, lady, put that rotten tomato down. I'm here. I come in peace. Take me to your leader. No, forget your leader. Let me meet your congregation.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's worked beautifully. And it's
yeah.
worked beautifully. And I've taken it as part of my ministry in religious science because,
mm-hmm.
again, I teach a lot of religious science.
Yeah.
And basically, religious science teaches if you can change your mind, you can change your life.
Very, very, very key. Very important.
You know,
yeah.
Years ago, and some might remember, some may not, there was a book called The Celestine Prophecy.
Oh, yes.
It was
the first time people could spell my name correctly. I was
yeah. Excellent.
So, yeah, I have all kinds of jokes about Celestine Prophecy.
Celestine,
because...
I love it. You could get a lot of mileage on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, and I have.
Excellent. But I found that the one principle in the book that is ancient as all ancient things are is that where intention goes, energy must flow. Not can flow, not
yeah.
maybe, but must yeah. flow.
Yeah.
So if we focus on unity, if we focus on, you know, we talk a lot about in politics today, celebrating diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an idea whose time has come.
Yeah.
But in religion, whether it be a progressive, free-thinking religion like spiritualism or anything else you want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
Candidly, and I know I'm probably shocking at least one of you in the audience, people
I love it.
people do not seem to, on some level, believe that we're talking to them.
Mm.
And I think we live in a world now where if we're going to get up there and talk about love and talk about unity and all of that, as the old expression goes, people need to see that we can actually walk what we talk.
Yes.
And that's not an indictment against any one
no.
or any group.
Mm-mm.
It's simply an observation. It's an observation that before I started doing this kind of work with every church that I, you know, that would have me, as it were, I was that man. I was
yeah.
that man who dotted his I's, crossed his T's,
mm-hmm.
And would give you a theology lesson or a philosophy lesson,
yeah.
whether you wanted mm-hmm. one or not.
But often it's wrapped up in good stories and funny little stories
we
as
try.
Well, which is,
yeah.
You know, that's nice.
We try. I've often said, if you can't laugh, stay in bed.
Yeah.
But it's part of what I do is I am by nature, I think this came from my dad, I'm a humorist because
yeah.
There is nothing funnier. In my opinion, again, not to offend, but there's nothing funnier than jumping feet first into any religious tradition, because if you don't develop a sense of humor and you don't develop, I want to say a little bit of a thick skin,
right.
because we are Pierre Desjardins.
Mm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
We are not human beings who have a soul. We are souls who are having a human
experience.
And so this is a learning process. I don't believe there's any religion on this planet that's ever enjoyed from its inception to the present time what we would refer to as perfection.
Right.
Churches are field hospitals for humanity. Dear Abby used to call them not sanctuaries for the saved, but hospitals for the sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if we look upon all of ourselves as not necessarily that we're, you know, I don't want to be negative and say we're all broken, but we are all a little cracked.
But blessed are the cracked, for they shall let in the light.
Amen, sister. Oh, yes. I like that. I'll use that in my next sermon.
Yes. Sounds good to me. Yes. Yes. We all borrow.
Absolutely.
So we had, I think what it comes down to at the core, you're saying in so many words, kind of meet people where they are on their journey.
Yeah. Yep.
And help them in whatever way you can.
And not to predispose that because you might be by your perception, and we know perception makes things so. It doesn't mm-hmm. make them true,
right.
But it makes them, you know, we believe it.
Yeah.
That to be open. One of the ministries I absolutely love and will do so as long as I have breath in me is hospice ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember walking through mm-hmm. the place where I was born. A little log cabin. No, that's not where I was born. I can remember.
In Illinois, perhaps?
In Illinois, you knew that.
Yeah.
I was chopping down a cherry tree. No. But I can remember walking through St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, New York. They had a hospice program, and I was a volunteer minister. And this was maybe 20 years ago. And I'm knocking on doors, you know, hi, this is, you know, my name's Ron. Is there anything I can help you with today? And I'll never forget this. I knocked on the door. I said, you know, that greeting. And a gentleman says, oh, pastor, I don't think you could help me. I'm Jewish.
Oh.
And I looked at him and I said, you know, I have a lot of information about a Jewish carpenter that's a friend of mine. I said, so I have a real appreciation for Judaic customs and history and mm-hmm. and the philosophy of Judaism. Mm-hmm. And he lit up because I walked into that environment, and my environment was not to convert him to any particular. My job wasn't to teach him what I believed.
Right.
I listened to some of the things that he held dear. And I hopefully was a sense of divine presence that I was, I always tell people, just let yourself be and spirit will channel itself and give that person what they need.
Yeah.
And at the end of probably no more than 10, maybe 15 minutes, we both had smiles on our faces and he thanked me and he probably didn't realize it at the time, but he had given me greater gifts than I could have ever given him.
Yeah.
And again, life lesson.
Yeah, that's incredible. That so much of that is so much of anything with ministry.
Yep.
Is holding space for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's really important and kind of sorry.
I'm tearing down the set. Sorry.
That happens all the time. I do it all the time.
I've got these bat wings here that just stretch out. If I may,
yeah.
It just hit me. I have a little, in reference to what you just shared,
yeah.
I have a little thing on my desk, a 3x5 and a plexiglass thing. It's got mm-hmm. a beautiful Japanese, I believe, haiku? No, I'm not sure. It's, but in any event, the words basically mean, you know, you've heard that old expression, what you need is a good talking to. And that's the attitude every,
right.
you know, it's like,
yeah.
you know, I don't care what's true. I know it's true. And if it's true for me, it has to be true for you.
Yes.
And this thing is totally diametrically different. What you need is a good listening to. If you can acknowledge people, if
yeah.
you can affirm that they're okay just the way they are,
mm-hmm.
because so many people do not believe that about the human family.
Yes.
And what's even worse is they don't believe it about their relationship with the all that is,
yeah.
God, however, whatever term you use, your highest concept of that spark of infinity that mm-hmm. animates you and animates the entire universe.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but it's one reason why at least in my case, and I don't mean to, you know, I'm not a noble human being. I'm a pragmatist. If I see the glass and it's half empty, I'm going to fill it. I want to finish the job.
Right.
And those who've come before me, whether it be in the spiritualist church or the religious science community, and I'm now even doing a lot of work with the Unitarian Universalist Church.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing group of people, and they've treated me with a lot of love and respect. And I, you know, it's ultimately about, you know, that connection, that interconnection with people. And it comes down to the point of saying, it's irrelevant to me what you believe, but it is relevant to me what you do. If you tell me you care, please show me.
Right.
I go back to the scripture where it says, you know, faith without works is dead. And in spiritualism, we've always said there is no death, there are no dead. But I do believe that if you claim to adhere to a particular faith, it's not an invitation for you to, you know, sit on your couch with a box of cherry bonbons. God, that sounds good. Anyway, but it's an invitation for you to engage first yourself and then engage each other, so that at the end of the day, and I go back to my absolute motto that I've lived by since I was ordained in religious science, we are working for a world that works for everyone.
Yes.
No exceptions.
Yeah.
Working for a world that works for everyone. And I can't ever quit promoting that until it's my time to, I like to call it going to glory. My family has other ideas. I don't think they think I'm going to be going to glory. But regardless of that, that's you know, what we do.
I assume that if the what has come through from various trans mediums, that where you part of where you first go, you are able to sort of design your environment. I assume that it's, for me, it's going to look a lot like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Yeah, I like that already.
And have a very very special coffee room. Where I will spend most of eternity.
I understand these things.
Yes, yes.
Mine's going to be a hot dog stand with cherry soda pop or something like that. We all have different views of what the afterlife might look like. I've seen people who are, you know, for example, pet owners, and and they love their animals, and I'm no different. My wife is no different, and we've said that if there are no dogs in heaven,
I'm not going.
I don't want to be there. No, it's just I cannot imagine a loving creator saying to, you know, a little dog, nah, ain't no place here for you. But
I have had, as a medium, several lovely conversations with animals.
Absolutely.
Who've come in. And that was just this week. So I just...
I
have to believe.
I as you can probably tell, I am the quintessential storyteller.
Love it.
And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was, as I say, ordained in spiritualism at 25. I maybe was 27 at the time. I was invited to go to and give a lecture at the First Spiritualist Temple in East Aurora, New York.
Oh, love that place.
And if you ever get an opportunity to go to East Aurora, New York, the home of Viddlers.
Yes.
Terrible. I don't get paid to promote Viddlers, but Viddlers is like an amazing 5 and 10 that you'll never see the likes of again.
It's one of my favorite places to serve for that purpose.
It's okay if we can multitask, you know.
Well, no, I always plan it so that I can stop by afterwards. I can, you know.
Now, you see, I always plan it when they have their dinner Sunday, because they have some mighty fine fiddles, and I'm there.
Yes, it's a wonderful.
There's two words that any good clergyman or clergywoman will respond to: free meal.
Yes.
And
True story.
But anyway, so I went out there, and of course I was by that time I was not just active, I was radioactive, I was doing everything, and so I guess I was kind of the guest of honor, which I really didn't, I wasn't comfortable with that, but nonetheless, that's how they treated me, and I was grateful.
Yeah.
But they said, well, would you like to sit in our Lyceum? And of course, every denomination, every faith tradition has its own lexicon. Yeah. Lyceum simply means, to the spiritualist, Sunday school.
Yes.
You can have a children's Lyceum. You can have an adult Lyceum.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they took me to the children's Lyceum, and there were probably 7 or 8 small children there between the ages of 3 and 7 or 8. And the lady at the time who was conducting the Sunday school, she was very proud of her students, and she wanted to impress me. So she said to the one little boy that is so memorable, is this Johnny, do you have any experiences lately that you want to share with the class? And Johnny says, my dog died. And she said, well, Johnny, I'm so sorry. And I'm sure we all, I'm sure you're going to miss your doggy. But tell me, where did your doggy go after he died? Now, the theologically or philosophically correct answer is, my doggy went to heaven.
Right.
And I miss my doggy, but I know he's safe and right. He's in God's hands.
Right.
He looked at her. Tears began flowing down his cheeks. Jaw began to shudder. They put my dog in the ground. And that was so sad. And yet, it's how children think, literally, at that age group.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I know that she will take him lovingly and gingerly and teach him a more holistic, open point of view so that he can have the comfort of knowing that the universe is not just what so many people believe, an unfriendly, cold place, run in a very cold way, so to speak,
right.
But that, just like we teach, you will see your loved ones again. There will be the sacred reunions and so forth. Every so often, if I get a little bit despondent about, trying to help people come to those conclusions, because, little Johnny at 7 is really not that different than big Johnny at 27 or 47.
That's right.
How many times do you hear somebody say, at a funeral service or at a memorial, I wish Mom would have been alive to see this or to see that. Mm-hmm. And we sit up there and we have to remain many times silent because this is so dynamically different from what they've been taught in traditional religious circles.
Right.
And we can't say, your mom is right with you and she's been to the wedding. She's been to this or that. And so
I can't later in service, in private,
sure.
Private work, but, by the way, our neighbor Mike says he loves you, and hello.
I love you, too.
So.
And thanks for the chocolate-covered cherries.
Yay.
I ate them all.
That's
why I've got the body of a god, the Lord Buddha.
Lord Buddha. I can't believe it's not Buddha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Gotta love this woman, I'll tell you.
Terrible. But
that's all right. I like it.
There's a couple things I want to circle back to mention.
Sure.
First, I want to say if you want to call in and talk to us, the call-in number is 818-739-8818. Second, I want to lay the big existential question on you, and we can circle back to it later.
Is there a dog? Oh, no, that is
no,
there a God.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's definitely a dog.
Dog spelled God backwards.
Right.
I don't
yeah.
think that's an accident, by the way.
No, I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm.
It's the all-loving nature.
That's
you
right.
know.
Agape love.
Yeah.
I always tell people, you want to see agape in action, buy a dog. Or get a rescue, better yet.
Even better. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Cats aren't for that.
Oh, I
know.
Love cats, too.
Yeah. They're more... They're for people who understand they have the heart that is really ready to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because cats will demand it.
Well, I saw a t-shirt once and it said it all. It says a picture of a cat on it and it says, in ancient Egypt, cats were worshipped as gods. And then the byline is, cats have never forgotten this.
It's true.
It is.
It's the first thing that they are told when they come out of the womb.
That's right. There is your devotee.
Yes. So here's, and actually along that line, here's the big existential question.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we've talked about and everything, and especially with the ministry and holding space for people, I think what people are questioning and what they, I want to get your take on it. It's about what do we owe to each other?
Well, you know, I find that is in my, I'll call it my growth.
Hope is good.
I don't want to gross you out, but Swami Beyond Ananda.
No.
I hope that in my growth, that the one thing I've learned, there is no question in my mind that there is only one person on planet Earth today that you can change. Mm-hmm. Only one person, not two, not three, only one. And that's yourself.
Yeah.
And scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you do not focus on that uniqueness that is you, and yet ironically also that sameness, that's probably not the best word to use, that you are part of the totality.
Yeah.
There I go again, man of all religions. In Unitarian Universalism, we speak of the interconnected web of life. Very similar to the spiritualist, extremely dynamic to the religious scientist.
Yeah.
And so if we realize that we are all interconnected, you know, there over the years, and I love like Victorian literature and so forth, because it speaks to that so much more eloquently than I can. But, it, you know, it basically says, you know, things like if you cry, I taste salt. You know, in other words, we are so connected. You finish my sentences, things like that. And people use that I think it's a dirty, dirty word, coincidence. Oh, it's your imagination. That's another dirty word.
Right.
I'm joking, of course. But the point being is I think ultimately we are moving in terms of the consciousness of the planet.
Yeah.
Praise God, praise goodness, praise the universe. We are moving organically, which is another amazing thing, toward a pluralism, toward a recognition that, yes, we can retain our so-called individuality.
Yeah.
We are unique, each and every one of us, and that's to be celebrated. However, what is more to be celebrated is our celebration of in our uniqueness, we are also part of a dynamic diversity.
Yeah.
I like to cook. I don't know if anything I cook people like to eat, but at least I like to cook.
Don't let this man fool you, because he consistently wins the chili challenge every year. So.
Oh, I'm always saying. A bridesmaid, never a bride. Third place.
It's delicious.
Thank you.
It's still in his glumpy.
Ah, yes.
Not to be missed.
Yeah, the old, yes, my Channel 7 Dead Great Chefs of Europe. So it's sometimes the roast beef with raspberry sauce just doesn't go over. But ultimately, we have since man has come here, we've learned that we are individuals and ruggedly so, and we should defend that individuality, and ultimately that manifests itself in terms of nations.
Yeah.
And I've come to the conclusion that if we were to practice the actual teaching of a Jesus of Nazareth, of a Gautama, the Buddha, I mean, the list is literally a mile long.
Yeah.
But the ideas are pretty much the same. Embrace yourself. Accept yourself for who you are. And I don't want to use the word, I use it judiciously. You're perfect for what perfect means to you at this moment, just the way you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to be anything other than who you are in the only time that exists in the universe, the eternal now.
Perfect. Yeah.
And if you can do that, then you need to hopefully give that same blessing to the person you meet. You know, as and I think organically we're beginning to see that. People are beginning to thaw from that hard-hearted, I call it frozen-heartedness. The Israelis and the Palestinians, my God, it's so heartwarming to see, and mostly
yeah.
see it on documentaries and so forth, where especially the young are saying, you know, we've been pretty silly. And when you start reading books like The History of the American People, I don't know if I've got that title right, by written a number of years ago by that great philosopher teacher Howard Zinn, mm-hmm. and you read the, you know, what actually occurred in our own nation from 1776 to present day, it is not a book you want to read unless you've taken your antidepressants. But every day is, and we know this, a new beginning. And people are beginning to say, okay, we did this, we were ignorant, we were arrogant. And, you know, when Jesus came along and said, you know, your sins are forgiven, go forth and sin no more. That go forth and sin no more is an invitation to change the behavior.
Yeah.
You're polluting the planet. All right.
You might want to stop that.
You might want to stop that. And if they stop that, whoa. And you see the differences that happen, and people are happier and more loving.
Yeah.
You know, we call it, Christmas is here. Well, not literally here, but soon enough.
Soon enough.
All of the, it is the season, indeed. Ho, ho, ho. Anyway. And it, you know, we always sing for, you know, the past, you know, 1,000+, 1,500+ years, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward all mankind.
Right.
And
then we fight over the parking space.
And then we fight over the parking space. Or, you know, after the service is up, did you see how long he preached? And it's like, wait a minute. You know, there's a disconnect here.
Right.
And the disconnect is between, again, as I mentioned earlier, talking the talk and walking the walk. That's why in a lot of the new age and in older than that, the what we do to enhance or work at our spirituality mm-hmm. is called a spiritual practice,
yes.
or to put it more succinctly, a spiritual discipline. Too many times, people will walk into a church of any denomination and their attitude may be, okay, where are you guys going to fit into me? Not a healthy, holistic approach.
Right.
And it generally doesn't end well.
Right.
However, if I walk into that dynamic and say, how can I fit into you? And if that mm-hmm. feeling, if that vibration, if that emotion is worked on, heavy emphasis on worked on,
yes.
it is amazing what can happen.
Yeah.
Hungry people get fed.
Yeah.
People who need clothing get it. People mm-hmm. who are mentally unstable will feel comfort. You know, with such an emphasis on, you know, they say, you know, whether it's America or any other country, you know, that there's a tremendous amount of spirituality. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of religiosity.
Yeah.
I believe this, therefore I'm covered. Okay. and I have no issue with that. You can believe whatever you choose to believe. But I have to tell anyone who's willing to listen, and they are getting fewer and fewer. No, only
that
kidding.
Is so not true.
that ultimately we have to take personal responsibility for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and that we are then to become what the good Lord, you know, gave us the, you know, they call him the great physician because he gave us the divine prescription to be. Good to each other, or in Buddhism, I call it the prime directive of Buddhism. end suffering wherever you find it. I sometimes, you've probably seen years ago, they had, practice random acts of kindness.
Yes.
I love that. And and I love the other one. They had a thing for the, a lot of young people got into it. What would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, this is a great motivator for people to be, to remind themselves that they don't live in a vacuum. It's not just about them. And their mantra shouldn't be, I, me, me, my.
Right. Yeah.
But if you can look at that and say, wow, maybe let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
It's never, and I stress this, it's never been tried to the extent that it needs to be supremely successful. And that's why so many people, when they're getting ready to make their transition, my God, isn't it probably, people say, well, what would be the worst thing you could think of just before you passed away, just before you died, if you will, that I didn't leave the place a little bit nicer, cleaner, and happier than I found it.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, that's kind of simplistic.
That's everything.
As we celebrate Christmas, I'll give you Christianity in a nutshell. I usually charge $4.95, including tax, shipping, and such. But today, it's a Christmas gift.
Okay.
I'm kidding, of course. I'm a big fan, as you might say, of Jesus of Nazareth. Huge fan. Mm-hmm. Never lost my appreciation and my love for, I call him the guru from Galilee.
Right.
And people say to me, well, but you're involved in spiritualism. You're involved, you're an ordained religious science minister. And now, my God, you're... working
talking about Jesus?
Working with the UUs, I said, none of them believe in Jesus. I said, they all believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different interpretation, what they call a different understanding of the Christology.
Yeah.
But here's the bottom line. You could take the Bible, which is an amazing book of spiritual upliftment and, the history of the formation of a people. And in the New Testament, Jesus says very plainly, no new commandment do I give unto you, but one that was given to you from the beginning, that ye should love one another.
Perfect.
Now, what nobody goes beyond that for one important line. He says, upon this rests, not enough coffee this morning. Upon this rests the law and the prophets.
Right.
Now, he, as many people have interpreted as a rabbi, would to say that, upon this rests the law and the prophets. Basically, that's like saying, this is it.
This is it.
Period. Rubber hit the road. Love yourself. Love others. And, because, I'm obviously paraphrasing. I'm interpreting as well. There's, in Eastern philosophy, namaste. The spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in me,
yes,
salutes and honors the Holy Spirit in you.
Yes.
Wow. I could have had a V8. But somehow there is a disconnect there. And, to those of you who disagree with, what I'm going at, have a nice day, but please leave me alone. I've been at this too long to engage in debates that are based on the fact that you believe this, this, and this, and this.
Right.
Because, short of, I am looking for a job as a special envoy to the Vatican, but they've not returned my calls. But one of the reasons
I could write you a letter.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I don't think it'll help, but
you never can tell. But one of the reasons I'm such a big fan, a huge fan of Pope Francis, is that I do believe that I see in him that tremendous spark of openness, of love, of acceptance. He's hamstrung by politics and so forth, and I understand that. But when asked many times, there was one time he was asked some loaded question that would have demanded, well, the church teaches.
Right.
And he turned to what became obviously an international audience and says, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was dumbfounded. I said,
flabbergasted.
Yeah, my gaster was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And I said, whoa, who am I to judge? And I'm like, I've never heard
that's
this
simple.
Out of a, And I'm thinking, if that consciousness evolves in that dynamic, and of course you have His Holiness the Dalai Lama,
right,
who's basically a stand-up comic and a philosopher, holy man in one,
right,
embracing everybody, and you know what we used to joke about when things were kind of tough, you know, the sick, the lame, and the lazy. We didn't care who you were. You are a child of good. You are a child of God. And to lose track of that is to, as we say, veer off course.
It happens.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Happened to me.
Okay, we've got a few minutes. I have one caller on the line, so I'm going to go ahead. Last four digits are 7774. You've been waiting the longest, so if you could give me your name and where you're calling from. Good morning. Hello? Perhaps you're on mute. Can you hear me? Okay. I guess we're not going to take that call. Okay.
Oops.
That's all right.
I love technology, don't we?
I did have somebody write in with a question. They were asking if you would further explain the burning bowl ceremony. What does that entail?
Very simple. We just the you know the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
Within the church, you set up a bowl, and that bowl should be either of an extremely fireproof nature, mm-hmm. like a fired ceramic. But we use at Living Spirit, we have an actual, I think it's either stainless steel,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, it should obviously be very, very fire retardant.
Right, so not wood.
No.
No, that would be bad.
There'd be another completely different service or group of services. We would call those funerals. No,
right,
we don't
right.
want that. So, oh, aren't we bad? The thing is, this would go in front of the pulpit area, the altar area. And that's filled with, I would say, you know, enough sand to, you know, go 3 inches.
Right.
And what I usually end up doing is putting a small tea candle mm-hmm. in the midst there and lighting that. Because what people do, if the service is well advertised, and it ought to be, you should know about, oh, at least 30 days before the service so that you can prepare spiritually for it. We encourage the congregants and friends of the church to take a 3x5 card or an envelope or, you know, a piece of paper and write down all of those things in 2018 that no longer serve you. And that could be anything from, you know, I need to give up smoking. I must, you know, release, you know, and it's based on a metaphysical principle. Out of my consciousness, out of my life. If you can push the negative out and replace it with positive, you will begin to incrementally, but nonetheless, see positive results to the point where you will be filled with positivity, therefore drawing into your expression those positive things that you seek.
Right. So basically going back to natural law, that which you put out is
amen. It's
is
the law of attraction.
Yes.
Or as I've heard it, the law of reciprocity.
There we go.
And it's not there to reward or punish. It's actually the universal guidance
yes.
and balancing system of the universe. In
it's
our
the
opinion.
Other side of the magnet.
That too. And but anyway, we fill that with, you know, with that little tea can, or no,
yeah.
we put the little tea candle.
Yeah.
And the people then over that month, let's say, will, you know, if they're really taking it seriously, they will go into their, you know, I'll call it their prayer closet, wherever they do their meditation, wherever they do their spiritual practice,
right.
and really, really meditate and pray and seek divine guidance. And what happens is ultimately, if, for example, life has gotten a little bit out of hand and they haven't done that before the service, you know, we always have pieces of paper and a bucket of pens.
Yeah.
And people will have at least 15 minutes to write down those same things I spoke of a moment ago.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, Usually, you know, we conduct a traditional service,
mm-hmm.
laying on of hands, healing,
yeah.
And of course, sermon,
mm-hmm.
etc. And then I, as conducting that portion of the service, usually get up and explain to them that now we come to that time and we communally take a moment to go within, to feel our individual uniqueness, and then to extend it to that universal oneness that we all share.
Nice.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And then I invite them to come forth. And again, this is not magic. This is not what I like to call wishcraft. Wishcraft. It is, you know, it's not wishful thinking. It's
right.
it's a outward expression of an inner experience or awareness. And
perfect.
So people will take, and the fire has always been the medium, if you will,
yeah.
For purification, for
right.
enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take that, they light the candle, they light the piece of paper
mm-hmm.
off of the candle, and then as they move a little bit quicker,
mm-hmm.
by the time the last person has put their piece of paper in the which is now definitely the burning bowl, we say an affirmation, a prayer, if you will, to again release all of that. And subsequently, to look within themselves, to seek what they feel they truly desire for a happier, healthier new beginning in this coming year.
Wonderful.
And does it. And it's,
yeah.
I have never, ever, in all the years I've been doing this, I was taught this service by the Reverend Shirley Smith.
Oh.
Shirley, rest her soul. She's passed away, but I'll tell
everybody's
you.
Everybody's favorite human being.
pretty much. And once I hit the ground running with that, I've done it in every venue you could imagine.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a person come up to me and say, you know, gee, Pastor, that was terrible. I got nothing from it. Usually people are crying. They're contemplating
yeah.
their loved ones
mm-hmm.
that have passed away, or it's an opportunity for you to really confront yourself
yeah.
about your issues or about your circumstances, and to recognize that there is a power that is greater than yourself, that if you release those to that power will do, the universe will do everything in its power to conspire in your favor.
Yes.
And once you release that onto it, you can then open yourself to the amazing blessings that already exist, but we just haven't accepted yet.
Nice.
I think so.
Yeah. That's very, very helpful.
I hope.
Yes. It helps people to take stock of
yeah.
where they are
yeah.
and where they want to be and sort of honor that energy. So, very cool.
All too often, you know, I hear it. I hear it all the time. I don't need to go to church. No, you don't. Absolutely not. No foul. No problem. You will find what I call infinite Holy Spirit in every square inch of the universe.
Yeah.
However, very quickly, we don't go to church because it's the only place where we can find spirituality. We go there so we can communally, support one another.
Perfect.
And that's what it's all about.
Perfect. So thank you very much for that. By the way, because we're in our last 30 seconds, please check out the other Blog Talk Radio show from Lilydale. We've got Tuesday evening, Embrace Your Essence with Colleen Vanderside, and we've got two on Wednesday. We've got Wednesday morning Wednesdays with Willa, which...
I will be Willa's guest. I suppose I'm being passed around, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'll be there December 26th, of course, the day after Christmas.
Very popular guy.
Boxing Day in Canada.
Yay! Wednesday evening, we've got John White, Journey into Light. So check all of those out. On the new year, we are going to have M.K. Rowland starting a show And please come this summer and visit with us here in Lilydale, and specifically with Ron. Ron is one of what we refer to as the ghost tour guys. So thank you very much for that, and we will see you all soon.
Thank you.
Okay. So that.